can always find something to not be happy about. I even mentioned the gravel in the parking lot, you know. Ladies don't like the gravel in the parking lot. Do you, ladies? My wife doesn't. She really doesn't. She wants me to let her out up here. Messes her shoes up. Am I right? Yeah. Amen. I get more amens about the gravel in the parking lot than I do when I'm preaching. Turn your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Keep your Bible close and open. We'll be looking at many scriptures today. I want to continue what we started a couple of weeks ago, and I would really love to allow some time at the end for some personal ministry. We were in here Wednesday night, and they were falling out on the floor again. We were laying around laughing, just like it was Sunday night, and had a good time. So we want to allow the Spirit to move any time we come together. We want to give Him time to lay us out. We want more of Him. Say more. More. Say, I want more of you, Lord. Amen. One more time. I like to hear you say, I want more of you, Lord. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we started talking about something that I'm going to continue on. And I believe you're really going to enjoy today. I believe it's going to be beneficial in to your understanding. And it's going to help you to see some things and directions that we are moving, that we feel of the Lord to move into. So I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures from the King James, also NASV, different translations as we do here. So I want you to stay with me now, okay? And don't get off on other passages and verses. Stay with me. Stay with me. Just a short review to bring us back into where we were talking about. I truly believe that the Lord has spoken to not only me, but others, and that the worldwide church, the traditional church as we now know it, the traditional church, is being slowly replaced by an act and a move of God. We looked at a lot of charts. We're going to look at them. I want to review them again real quickly. I'm not going to spend the time on them. But I'm finding more and more people are becoming very disillusioned with the traditional church, and that including us as well. Even though we are basically non-traditional, we get traditional. I found people come here initially. They're all excited about our church. They're all excited to hang around a little while, and they're ready to go find another one again. So, you know, there's nothing really happening that's ministering to people. And I really believe that God is on a way right now to do something more than preaching and preaching and preaching. I really believe that He's on a move right now of doing something that's going to bring the church into more of what it's supposed to be. We've talked about how they were shutting down the churches in Great Britain, and how these massive cathedrals are being shut down. One was turned into a skating rink. I was watching a special on it the other week, and one was turned into a skating rink, and one was turned into an antique shop. And these massive things are boarded up, these huge cathedrals, because God's just not into that right now. That's just not what He's doing. Now, it may have been a day He was doing that, but that's not what He's doing right now. And we're going to look at some charts. There's three basic reasons that the church is not functioning. It's not producing people. It's not producing. It's not performing like it should be. Reason I know that is because churches get to their plateaus. We talked about that the other week. Churches come to their plateau. 33% of the churches are under 50 members. They're under 50 members today. They were under 50 members 50 years ago. They'll be under 50 members 50 years from now. They come to their plateau. They are performing at the only level they know how to do, and therefore they maintain that. 33% of the churches have 51 to 150 members. Now they again come to that plateau. 28% have 150 to 350 members. We've maxed there about 2 years after I was in the city, and we've just maintained right there. We're performing at what we know how to do, and obviously there's something else the Lord wants us to do. Only 5% of the churches ever exceed 350, and there are very, very, very few amount of churches ever get into multi and massive ministry to people. The church is not performing. It's not growing. It comes to a place and it stops growing. That's the first reason. It's not performing. It's not ministering to people. The second reason is that it's not equipping people to minister. The way that the church in the past has equipped people to minister was through a Sunday school program. And you can see, according to the chart, that from 1915, it stayed pretty level until the late 50s, when the charismatic renewal began to come in and people began to get filled with the Holy Spirit and hungry for the things of God and praise and worship, and you saw an acceleration as people got hungry for God in the late 60s and early 70s, and then around 75 that began to fizzle and it started dropping, and now at 1990 it's at its lowest ever time. The church is not equipping people because people aren't even going to church to be equipped. People are disillusioned with the church as it is. It's not functioning. It's not performing. Third reason that we saw is bringing people, not bringing anybody to Jesus Christ. The church is not bringing people to Christ. In 1960, 64% of our nation was a member of a church someplace. 1970, 63%. 1980, 59%. And now it's at an all-time low in 1990 of only 55% of the people in our nation are church members someplace. And another reason that we know that is because we look at water baptism. We're not bringing people to Jesus. Again, you see the same kind of a thing as we saw earlier in the 60s and 70s. You had the charismatic thing where people began to come to want to be taught. They understood the principles of water baptism. They came in. They were water baptized. But since that time, again, it's fallen until it's an all-time low right now of water baptisms. The church is not performing. The church is not equipping. And the church is not bringing people to Jesus Christ. Are you in agreement with those statements? I believe the Lord wants to change that. People are disillusioned. The way the church grows, this church, any church that I'm aware of, the way it grows, is by disillusioned, unhappy Christians changing churches. They come here. They stay here for a while. They get disillusioned here. They go to the next church in the city trying to find where it's perfect and where Jesus is. Now, that's just the way it is. I'm not putting that down. I mean, if you're not getting fed here, you need to go where you can be fed, where you can be equipped, where you can perform for Jesus. Amen? Now, also, we find that preachers are doing the same thing. Where preachers were coming and preachers would stay around in a church for about 4 years or 5 years or so, and then they leave the city looking for the same thing, looking for the perfect church and the perfect city, doing the very same thing that the members are doing. Am I right? Sure. We know this is true. But there is no perfect church. There is no perfect member. There is no perfect preacher. But Jesus wants us all to be perfected. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing, for the process of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. What I want to show you today, and what I want to talk about today, is in our time of transition. And in our church, as you well know, is in a time of transition. We've changed leadership. I think we've changed everything but the preacher. Maybe that's the problem. You know, maybe we'll try that next. I don't know. But we are in a time of transition. We're going through transition times. And what I want to show you today is in this time where I feel the Lord is speaking to me and what He wants us to move into and wants us to look at. So what I want to look at today and is the manner, the way that Jesus Himself gave His apostles and also others, and hear how I'm saying that, not only the 12, but others as well, how He told them to go out and minister the kingdom of God and to penetrate cities. Now, this is what I want to look at today. I want to see what Jesus said to do it and how He said to do it. So I want to ask you three questions. Number one, is this the Word of God? Amen. Should we build our lives upon its sayings? Man, this is not Jesus. We don't worship this, but this the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but we learn this and we build our lives upon the Scriptures, right? So, the reason I said that is a lot of preachers worship the Bible. I worship the God of the Bible. There is a difference. I look at this to find out what He says, how He thinks, what He wants me to do, and what He wants me to teach. So, first question is what this says, is this what we're supposed to do? Sure. Number two, if I show you how Jesus said that we're supposed to penetrate, will you help me do it? Will you break the traditions of man, the doctrines of devils, the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and help us get together and find out and figure out how in the world you're supposed to affect a city or cities that God has given you to penetrate. Do you want to know? Number three. Do you want to know? Now, there where much is given. Now, see, I'm going to show you scriptures that I've read I don't know how many times, and it never spoke to me. It just, ever had that to do to you? The Spirit of the Lord just never quickened it to you. Just, well, that was nice. I really don't know what that's there for. Then one day along the way, you're reading a book, or you're listening to a tape, or you're just reading the scriptures, or you're praying, and all of a sudden, boom, scripture comes alive. Well, this is what happened here. This is what happened in my life with this particular passage that I'm about to share with you from Luke chapter 10. So look with me now at Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70. King James, if you've got an NIV or an NASV, it probably says 72. Some translations literally says 72. That's not the point. The point is that you'll see he's going to send them out two by two. So you either have got you've got 36 teams going out to penetrate, or you've got 35 teams going out to penetrate. That's what I want you to see here. He sent them two and two before his face, or ahead of him, into a few cities, wherever they wanted to go. This is for every city. This is the way Jesus did every city. He sent them out in front of him into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now, who was coming? What did he do first? So, if we're really expecting the presence of Jesus to come into our city and to penetrate our city, what's going to happen first? I want you to see this. This is vital. He's going to do whatever we're about to read here. Before Jesus will really come and minister into a city, what we're about to read here is going to happen first. How many really want Jesus to come into our city, our region, our area, cities around us, wherever that we want to go and to penetrate? Steve, I was thinking about Albania. That's what we didn't do. I knew there was something. I wanted you to share about Albania. At Albania, what we've got to do is the Lord spoke to me this morning as I was preparing. What we've got to do is send at least two to go into a city and find a house we're about to read and get into it. And that's what we're about to read here. See, you'll find in scriptures, and it's just recently began to get on me, that as I read about the ministry of Jesus Christ and the apostles, and so much of their ministry was not done in a building like this, but it was done in houses, house churches. Is this the Word of God? Are we wanting to penetrate our city? Then to do it, are we going to have to do it His way? How many cities did He send them to? Every city. Okay. Jesus is coming. But before He comes, people are going to be penetrating homes. So there was either 35 or 36 teams sent out to penetrate a city or to penetrate a region. Luke 10:2. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Now we have read this verse from this particular passage and from also Matthew chapter 9. And we've always said, well, what are the laborers? What is He doing here? Is He sending angels? Who's He sending? Think about it. He didn't send the preacher. And right here, we're not even sending the apostles. We're sending the others. How many others? You might not have been one of the 12 original apostles, but you fit into the other category. How many of that are us? It's most of us. Some of you were with Jesus. You need to be here. Do what I'm doing. You never understand until you're in this place how vital it is that you respond to the speaker. I need you to respond to me. When we have a ministry in here, I need you to respond, and He needs you to respond. If you're going to get all out of me that I've got to give you, you've got to respond. You've got to receive it. If a ministry comes in here and He's got something to give us, you've got to respond if you're going to get it. Why have ministry in if we're not going to respond to it? So He sent them out, and we've read about this. Well, this is the way harvest works. See, He wants to penetrate a city. He wants to penetrate a region. He wants a harvest to come. So what we're doing in this passage is we're looking to see how Jesus actually taught harvest. how he taught to win a city. How he taught, and you'll see it in a little while, how to see Satan fall like lightning. How many want to see that? This is it. This is that. Verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, that's not any fun. He doesn't paint a real pretty picture about this. It's not a rosy thing that we're going to get into. It's not always fun. I mean, it's not always fun to go out into people's houses that you don't know too well. How many knows it's not really fun sometimes to go and try to minister? It's not always fun. He doesn't say it is. It's like lambs among wolves. Sometimes you get torn to pieces. How many of you believe that I've been torn to pieces before? Yeah. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man on the way. We're not looking here for riches. We're looking for something specific, and I'll show you it in just a second. And into whatsoever house, so whatsoever what? Church? Synagogue. To whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Now, he didn't say, go into the city and find the best church. Find the preacher that's got the most charisma. He didn't say, go and find out the church that's going on with Jesus. What did he say do? Go and find a house. And he says, say, peace to this house. Here's the strategy. They are to enter an area or a community, find a house or a person that will allow them to enter in and to bring peace to that house. Now, what I want to show you is, I believe I've got it here. I know I made one. He's got to locate it. I want to show you the Greek definitions for this word house. I've got so many little charts and stuff here. I know I got it. I've got to find it. Maybe I don't have it. But the word house, here it is. There we go. The word house, there, that word is the word oikia, O-I-K-I-A. And it means a residence. And it, tracing it down into its root, what it is a dwelling, oikos. And that word oikos is going to become very important to our understanding of what God wants to do in our midst. It's the oikos that he sends to. It's a dwelling. How many understand it's an oikos with people? See, if it's just a residence, that doesn't necessarily mean that people are there unless they're residing there. But what we're talking about here is where people dwell, where people live. It's an oikos. It's an oikos of people. He says, go and find you an oikos with people in it. With people residing there. An oikia. Find it where people are living at. And he says, and get into that place where people are living and where people are dwelling. He says, it's there that I really want you to get into when you get into the city. It's oikia. Oikos. They were to enter the house. They were to enter the oikos of people. They were not instructed to enter churches. They were to specialize in penetrating houses. Were they not? Specialize in penetrating houses. Houses are where people live. The manner Jesus gave to get people into the kingdom of God is to get into their oikos. This is how harvest works. Let's see if we've got this point. The central fact of harvest is the house. Am I there now? Are you with me? The centrality of bringing harvest to a city, the centrality of bringing penetration into a region is getting into houses. It's vital. Is this the Word of God? Is it in red letters in your Bible? Who said it? I want you to get into their house. Now, how have we basically been taught to evangelize the world? I mean, what, maybe not specifically taught, but what is the traditions of men as far as evangelizing? We invite them to come to, but Jesus says to get into their, verse 6. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Now, there's a target that you're looking for in the oikos. There's a target that you're after here in the house, in the household, in this residence, in this dwelling. There is a target person. You'll all relate to this. You've all seen a person, an individual come to church. Maybe it's a wife or maybe it's a child, and they'll get saved, and eventually the father will get saved and he'll get ministered to. And then before you know it, you get the whole bunch saved and serving Jesus. Am I right? Have you ever noticed something like that? So what you do is you get into the house, you find somebody lets you in, you bring peace to that person, but then what you're really looking for is the son of peace or the man of peace. Do you see this? There's a target here, he says. Verse 6, and if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. What you're looking for is the son of peace or is the man of peace. Now, I've digested these verses over the past several weeks, and I've asked the Lord to give me some examples and some understanding here. And Willis, your family is probably about the best one that I could come up with right now. Okay, I come to this city in 1985, if I remember right, and help me if I'm wrong, but that morning you were working, and Linda came to church. Am I right? Linda says you need to go hear this guy, okay? So you went, and you came to church, and then you kind of liked that guy too, but you said, I don't think he's ever going to work out because he's going to drive back and forth, and he's going to do all this stuff. That doesn't matter. Okay. All right. While I was driving back and forth for that year, going back to Griffin, you guys had me over to your house nearly every Wednesday night. Am I right? Over to your what? I had you in your house. You took me. I got in your house. Am I right? I was looking for the man of... Okay. I got Willis. Willis, how many people, when I got into your house, just rapidly figure, how many people came through that encounter that I had with you? How many people are now serving Jesus right here because of that encounter? I counted them up. It's like 27. Here's one result of it right here. Okay? So I got into his house, and then here's his mama and his aunt. How many knows this works? Hey, I'm telling you something here that Jesus said, and I didn't even know until I read it, and the Holy Ghost says, you need to look at this. You see, the secret of penetrating a society, the secret of penetrating a region, is the oikos. It's the house. You get into the house, you find the man of peace, and you get it into their oikos. Am I right? You know this is right. This is too simple. It's too simple to be right. And then I got looking at it, and it's not here only. It is. Matthew talks about it. Mark talks about it. Luke talks about it. Luke talks about it two times. It is all in the Scriptures. Get into the house. Think about it now. When the guys brought this sick guy on a pallet to Jesus and there were so many people around him, where was he at ministering to people? In a house. What'd they have to do? Come up on top, tear a hole in it, and drop the guy through the roof. He was in a house ministering, casting out devils, working in a house. He gave this guy's oikos and a whole family starts coming. going down Jericho Highway. There's this little bitty guy up in a tree. His name is Zacchaeus. What did Jesus say to him? Zacchaeus, you come down because I'm going to your church today. I'm going to your house today. And he was so moved upon him, he says, I'm not only going to give back what I took from them, I'm going to give back four times more. Tell me that ain't the Spirit of God. See, and over and over and over in the Scriptures, in Jesus' ministry, in the apostles' ministry, they were looking for the house, and we're looking for the building. Help us, Lord. And we are in a tremendous time of transition, and you've got to hang in here. But folks, I promise you, if we will do it His way, if we will penetrate and do it His way, we're going to be blessed. Because we're not afraid of the doctrines of men. And we're going to do something different. But we're going to affect this city. We've been talking about it for 8 years. It's time to do it, don't you think? Light's got to penetrate the darkness. We keep waiting on darkness to come to us. Woo! Verse 10. Well, what do you do in the oikos? Verse, 10? Verse 7, okay. The same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give you. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Then go out Do not go out from house to house. Now, what he's saying here is don't look for the comfortable place. You go where they receive you. And you spend your time there. And you go by twos. Let them see you. Let them learn you. Let them watch your life. Let them see your peace. Let them see the gifts of God working and manifesting through you. And he's not only going to do this, but what they're also going to do is they're going to eat together. They're going to, and whatsoever city you enter and receive you, eat such things as they set before you and heal the sick. The gifts of the Spirit are going to function where? In the house. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 14, 28, 26 or 28. It's right there. And it says, how is it then, brother? Let each of you come. Let each of you have a tongue, an interpretation of the tongue, a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. Are you relating with me? A revelation, a knowledge, or whatever. You're relating that verse with me. Well, if we did that with just this many people, how long would we be here? But you get into a house group and you start sitting around and you start allowing the gifts of the Spirit to move. You can't help but get caught up into it. And you can't help but manifest the gifts of God. It just happens. You don't have to pump people or twist arms and say, well, let's pray it one more time. You know, let's stand up and lift our hands. You don't have to do that when you get into a house. It's like Saul getting under the ministry of the prophets. It just happens. We've learned this over the last couple of years. We've learned this in our care groups. We've learned that all you got to do now in Steve Lyle's is set a chair out there. Somebody not only will prophesy, but somebody will jump in the chair to be prophesied to. They're just waiting. It's just, whoo. What do you call it now? Fresh meat? Want some fresh meat? They're bringing visitors now so they can get some fresh meat. I'm telling you, there's something here. There's something here. So what do? Well, you eat, you drink, you fellowship. You labor, you talk about the kingdom of God, you talk about your life, you show how Jesus worked in you and how He's worked through you and delivered you, you heal the sick, the gifts of the Spirit are functioning and manifesting. He says, don't be jumping around from place to place. Let them watch your life. Let them listen to you talk. Let them see the manifestation in you. Amen? Now, I want to show you that, and before I do that, let me do this. He gives a warning. He gives a warning here. If you won't heed this, listen, now I'm warning you. I'm warning some. You got to hear this in Luke 10:10. But in whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Do you think that Jesus is serious about this stuff? He's serious about people getting out and penetrating houses. He's very serious. See, this is harvest work. This is how He wants people harvested. And it's so serious that He says, man, it would be better for you to have been in Sodom than it would be for you to reject this. Whew. Where much is given. So to penetrate an area or to penetrate a region, we've got to get into the oikos. I want you to see that. It's got to get into the homes. It's in the homes you can really change people. It's when you sit at the table with them. It's when you dialogue about the kingdom of God. It's when you sit down and you sit around the table and you eat something together and you pray together and you start sharing together that all of a sudden scriptures start happening and the Spirit of God manifests and people are ministered to and you find some weeping and some laughing and some crying. This is tremendous. What are the results? Look in verse 17. The results. And the 70 returned again with what? Joy. Is there joy in the church today? Now, we had some here Sunday night. But think about it, folks. They returned with joy. You know why they returned with joy? Because even the devils were subject unto them through His name. Is that what that verse says? The 70 or the 72 had joy. These were not dismayed and discouraged Christians. These were not Christians that were just coming to church on Sunday because it was Sunday. These were guys who had joy, the joy of God. How many could use some joy? Yeah! And the reason they had joy was because they got the secret. The secret was the oikos. The secret was the penetrating into the house. And when they got into the house, that Jesus Himself manifested. People were healed. Devils were cast out. People got set free. There was great joy and rejoicing. Am I right? Verse 18. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Read again. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know, most of the church world is waiting for Satan to fall like lightning from heaven. They're waiting for Revelation chapter 12 to manifest. Do you know that Jesus said it happens when you get into the oikos of people's homes, when you get to penetrate into their cities and penetrate into their homes and penetrate into their lives? You can right then watch Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You can see the authority that he has in the heavenly dimensions come plundering down. You can see it crash right then when you get into their homes. When did he say it happened? In Revelation 12, he said, no, you got to wait for Revelation 12. Or did he say, I saw it. I saw it happen. Oh, folks, we got something here. We've got something here. Satan falls like lightning from heaven when the oikos are penetrated, when families are penetrated, when spiritual bondages, he says, the anointing is upon me to set the captives free. When that happens and we go into people's homes and houses and lives and the Spirit of God releases and breaks the bondages over them, Satan right then falls like lightning from heaven. Am I right? Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And note this next verse. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. What does rejoice mean? Can you see Jesus doing this? Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto the babes. Well, what was revealed to the babes? Principle of harvest. The way the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing it is you come to my church and we'll put on a better program than the guys across the street. We'll dance. We'll do mime. We'll have praise and worship. Jesus says, man, get to the oikos. Wise want to do it the traditional way. How many knows that's not working? The way the babes are doing is just trusting him and doing what he says and getting into their homes. My. So what do we have here? Well, we got joy in the church. Church isn't dismayed any longer. Number two, Satan falls like lightning from heaven. His authority is counseled. Number three, those that participate in his downfall are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Please understand that. It just wasn't a sinner's prayer. These folks went out and ministered. Those that participated in this, he says, your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And number four, Father reveals his plan for harvest to the babes. Amen? Now, I want to show you the same principle over and over. And that's why I told you to keep your Bible up. I'm going to go through these really fast. Now, look at Luke 9:1. Just back up a couple of one chapter. Into the first verse of Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together. I'm going to just read these and comment because I've already projected the principle. I just want you to see how many times he spoke about this. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over what? All the devils and to cure diseases. Did he give them the gifts of the Spirit? Does Jesus Christ want the gifts of the Spirit to function? Does Jesus want them to? And he sent them, get up and go. He sent them. How many seeds to be sent? You got to do something. You got to go. You got to get out from our chairs and go do something. Is that right? He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house, you penetrate, you enter, there abide, and thence depart. When you get through there, go. Again, the principle of harvest, the key of harvest is the house. And whosoever will you receive, and whosoever will not receive you, When you go out of that city, take off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. There's that warning. Don't reject this. Folks, I'm warning. Where much is given, much is required. You're hearing a principle of God today. Don't reject this. Don't reject what I'm projecting to you. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet for the testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing Where? Everywhere. There's the results. How many want results? Are you tired of talking about it, Don? Ready for some results. Now, Matthew chapter 10. Turn there. Just show you, I've never saw it quite like this before. I've read this passage, I've read these scriptures so many times, but all of a sudden the Lord begins to make them open up to me and see I pray, Lord, give us harvest. I pray, Lord, show us what to do. Help us understand how to do this. Help us, help us, help us. And so the Lord starts showing me some things. And we can do business as usual. And we can plateau out 150, 200 folks for 50 years. I don't want that. I want to penetrate the city. I believe that the church and that you and I are really lights and salt. Don't you? And we put it under a bushel here. And we want to get out. We want to penetrate. We want to get into the houses. Matthew 10:7. And as you go, preach, saying, now this, he's sending them out here to the children of Israel. This will even work for Christians. This will even work for the children of God. It will. If you get into a Christian's house and you oikos in there and you start affecting there, you're going to get the same results. These were the children of Israel, the house of the Lord. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. There's the gifts. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor strip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for a workman is worthy of his meat. We're not looking for wealth. We're looking for the man of peace. Am I right? See, a lot of us are wanting money. A lot of us are wanting wealth. A lot of us are wanting riches. But what he says you're looking for is what? Man of peace, the son of peace. Find that person. Once you find that patriarch, once you find that man that's got authority in that kingdom, once you find that, get to that house, in that little kingdom, and you start penetrating into his life, then you're going to affect everything. And Satan's going to come down like lightning. There it is. And when you go into the house, salute it. That's verse 12. Verse 13. And the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house of city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. There's the warning. Mark chapter 6. Look, over and over and over and over. He never tells them to go find the best church. He never tells them to go out and find the preacher that's got the charisma, preaches the best word, or has the best praise, or does the best program. What does he say do? You tell me, what does he say do? Go find a house. Penetrate into that house. See, if you penetrate into that house, you keep looking around in there, digging around until you find the man of peace. You get the man of peace, you get the whole oil course. 27. Double. Mark 6, verse 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Do you understand that we've got to have the gifts of the Spirit to bring a penetration of Jesus Christ into any area or any region? Listen, just getting to pray a sinner's prayer is not going to break demonic powers. You have got to manifest the presence of the Holy Ghost. He says, go with this now and command them that they should take nothing for their journey, save staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money, no purse, not looking for riches, but in shod and sandals in verse 10. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into a house, there's an oikos, the oikos of people, you enter into that oikos of people, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust from your feet, testimony against them. Verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Where were these things happening? Now I want to expand as I close on the oikos. How many of those see before I just close this up today? How many really see that there is another part of what we're doing? What we're doing is not wrong, but there is another part. Acts chapter 2 says this, that they were together daily in the temple and from house to house. You see, there are two parts here, and I think that what we have been messing up in is that we have put more emphasis here than on the house. Now, do we need this building? Let's go ahead and settle this. Do we need the school? Do we need a place to come and celebrate His victory? Do we need a place to come and corporately praise and worship and magnify Him? Do we need a place to come? Yes. But do we need the other as well? If we're going to penetrate the city, is this enough? We've got to get this worked into us. We've got to allow the Lord to cause us to repent, to change our thinking. What does repent mean? I just told you. Change your thinking. Doesn't mean just to totally turn around and walk another way. That's not totally it. It's just an adjustment in your thinking. On the day of Pentecost, the Jews were there. He says you got to repent. What did that mean? They were already children of God. Well, you got to change your thinking. You got to change your covenantal understanding. And that's what repentance means here. They repented. They began to think properly. We need to think properly. We need the house. Now, I want to expand on this oikos just a little bit. As you've seen, an oikos is an immediate family. It's a dwelling. You have an oikos. There is this immediacy of your family that you have, and that's your oikos. I want to expand that thought, though, as I close, as I finish this up. An oikos would be, and the way I want to project this, an oikos would be the people that you have eye-to-eye contact with, and not talking about a telephone, but eye-to-eye personal contact with at least 1 hour a week. Okay? Would you say that would be people that were in your life, in your oikos, in this house? Okay? That's what I'm wanting us to project here as I close this up, because I want to project to you a massive principle. So an oikos would be people that we spend at least 1 hour a week with communicating eye-to-eye. That's what I'm wanting here. So, who do you spend at least 1 hour a week with in your life? That would be the people that you minister to, and that would be the people that you receive ministry from. You see, unless I preach an hour to you, I really haven't ministered to you. That's good. Do you see, though, that? If I'm with John 1 hour every week, will John impart into my life whether I want him to or not? Will I impart into him whether I want him to or not? So if I'm around people an hour a week, then there is this possibility of this communication, this dialogue, and this impartation that person's going to get and that I'm going to get. So this becomes the oikos principle, eye to eye. People that you have an effect on is who I'm talking about. So are there any lost in your oikos? This is what I'm shooting at. You see, I had to ask myself this question. Let me just kind of project it this way to you. This would be the little guy in the center. That would be you. And in oikos, the people that are in your life and around your life, that would be the oikos, your house, the people that are in your house, in your life, in your immediacy that you spend. Most folks have very few. You think about it, if you were to list them, you would find out that there's not a whole lot of people in your immediate oikos. There's not a whole lot of people that you spend an hour a week with. Not a whole lot at all. And do you know what? I asked myself this question. Well, you know what? Even though I have a large oikos, most folks is 9 or less. Mine's larger than that because of what I do. But do you know, though, that in my oikos, there was not one single lost person? Now hear what I'm saying. Well, why? Why am I not getting lost people saved? I don't have any in my life. They're not inviting me to their homes. Oh. Pull the chain and the light comes on. Ding. How many do you have? Do you have an oikos that is full of saved people, lost people? Are you going to their homes? Are you ministering to them? Are they ministering to you? If there are lost people in your oikos, why aren't you getting them saved? Now see, my problem is, evidently I do a pretty good job with the lost ones that I spend time with because there aren't any. But I need more lost people in my life. Some of you need less lost people in your life because they're ministering to you more than you're ministering. Oikos. Tremendous principle. Tremendous principle of God. Once we get into the oikos, we can minister to people and they can minister to us. If you're around the lost, then we should be winning the lost. We should be going to their houses. We should be ministering, fellowshipping with them, eating with them, manifesting the gifts of the Spirit to them, coming forth and allowing them to look into our lives. And there should be something in our life that's light.
We should be able to minister to them and watch Satan fall like lightning from their lives. We should be able to get into there and do something. Is that what Jesus said? Is that what He said here? The secret is the oikos. A lot of us don't have enough lost people. Some of us have too many. But whatever the thing is, we need to minister to the lost. We need to be ministered to. We need to minister. As I ask myself that question, well, let me just expand this a little bit more. I'll probably do a lot more of this about this particular principle. Okay, I get into one lost man's oikos, one house. Okay, I'm looking for the man of peace. I'm looking, I stay in there, I don't go bouncing around. I concentrate on this one until I find the man of peace, the person in here. I get this one ministered to. I manifest the gifts of the Spirit. I bring him to the Lord, and I keep hanging around in there, and I meet his oikos. Now, if he's a normal person, how many is going to be in his oikos? About 9. Okay. Willis, how many do you have in yours? 20-something. And one by one. And if we're all doing this, we're going to penetrate our city. Not only will we penetrate our city, but we're going to be raising up leaders in our home groups, in our church groups, in our church homes. And we're going to be sending them out into Ringgold. Don't you think we need something in Ringgold? We're going to be sending something down to Tryon. Don't you think we need something down there? We're going to send something up to Rossville. We really are. We're going to get something going in these areas, church houses, church homes, where we can go and minister and manifest the presence of God. We're going to come back together on Sunday and praise them and have celebration and have great joy and watch Satan fall like from heaven. Is that good? That's the griddle, man. That's hot off the griddle. That is Jesus saying, this is how you do it, Delbert. Wake up, boy. Wake up. Look at the Scriptures. Read them. Take time. Look at it. See what it says. Oh, man. How many ready? You promised me now, this is the Word of God. You told me it was, didn't you? You said you're going to help me do it. And you said this was important to you. Okay, care groups tonight. 3 going on tonight. Oikosis. You get ministered to. You get to bring the lost. Learn how to manifest the gifts of Spirit. Allow people to minister to you and you to people. How important is it? It's so important that it would be better for you to have lived in Sodom and Gomorrah than to reject this Word. Much is given. Sobering, sobering, sobering. Lord, You are Jesus. We lift our hands and we magnify You as